But I always wondered. Thank you. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like the Thatchers or something. Yeah. I don't know why that just came to me. Yeah. So Mark, we find out that Mark, our John Mark, was cousin to Bartimaeus. Now Bartimaeus should probably sound familiar to most of us, right? Everybody's heard of Bartimaeus? Yeah. Yeah. No. No. Well, Bartimaeus and Paul were like thick as thieves. You know, they were tight. They're like Batman and Robin. They started out the ministry together, and when they were going on their first mission trips, and they were just their buddies, right? However, they had a falling out. And it seems like, if nothing else, Mark was at least one of those reasons they had a falling out. Paul, at that time, wasn't Mark's biggest fan, I guess you'd probably say. He didn't want him to go on a mission trip, this mission trip they were going on. And Bartimaeus said, well, my mom said I had to take my cousin. And it's like, and so they walked away separately. They walked in different directions. But we see here that Paul counts Mark as a very close friend. You know, friends forgive, friends forget. And then we get introduced to another gentleman, Jesus, who is called Justice. Now, we don't know a lot about him, just that Jesus was another popular name back then. And then Colossians chapter 4, 12 through 4, I mean 15, sorry, 12 through 15. Cassia, I think.
Epaphras,
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the locations are easier to pronounce, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ephesus, or I swear I looked it up and I was like, I don't remember. So he's one of you. So what does that mean? Right? So. It was a Colossian. He founded, more than likely, he founded the church. He was definitely a witness, or he was a pastor, or both. He was involved with the church in Colossae, you know, more than just a little bit. So what was he doing with Paul 1,300 miles away?
In jail.
In jail. No, but I'm glad you asked. Is remember that the church, when we first started this book, the church was struggling, right? They were struggling because there was false teaching going on at that church. And they were being influenced by that. Now, a 1,300-mile journey, so he wasn't in prison. It was a journey he took. So, and then back then, we stretch it back, it was probably more than a year to go and come back and everything. Just, you know, depending on travel, I don't know how he traveled. He could have, if he walked it, you're talking, it could have been 2 years. Easy. But more than likely, he would have to take a boat at one point or another. You know, he wasn't Jesus, he didn't walk on water. So, or he'd have to go way around, Way around. It'd be more than 13 or miles. All right, yeah, I guess he could have swam it. Yeah. It's not that far. Triathlon. He was really fit. So anyways, this would have been, I looked it up and they said 2 years, but I'm like, what if he took a boat? It couldn't have been that long. But then he has to take the boat back. So, and he has to, he's probably there for a little bit. He didn't just like, hey, Paul, yeah, I just wanted to say something. Get your opinion. Okay, now leave. No. He was probably there for a couple months. Everything took a couple months, and eating. Yeah, okay. I'll see you. But can you imagine? I mean, people back home, they could forget about you. I mean, it was a different time back then. People were like, oh, you're going on a journey. Okay, I'll remember you. Maybe not. Maybe not. You could get killed by travelers. I don't know. So, but think about it, though, as far as what he cared so much that he didn't matter, what it took or how long it took. He wanted to get help, right? And at that point, that was a big commitment, and it'd be honestly a costly commitment. He had zeal, always in prayer, Paul says. He's always in prayer. And who is he praying about? He's praying about the Colossians. And he was always laboring. Everything he did was to benefit them. Now, that's a friend, right? That's a pure, perfect definition of a friend, to go to the ends of the earth for somebody else, for you. Now, Luke, he mentions Luke. We all know Luke, right? Luke, the only Gentile author in the Bible. He wrote, obviously, the Gospel of Luke in Acts. So Luke was a physician, so he was a doctor, right? He was always with Paul. He was traveling with Paul, and that's why he's in Acts. He was with Paul all the way up till Paul got beheaded. Whoa, shocker. That's a, yeah, sorry, spoiler. Guillotine? No, guillotine was not
invented until
French Revolution. Yeah, which weird is, this is bunny trail, but I didn't know the guillotine was like modeled after other ones. It's like, well, then you didn't invent it. You just changed the design. But, yeah.
No one patented it until
yeah, nobody patented it. No, I it was probably with an axe. Hopefully it was sharp. There was people had a lot of ways to kill other people. So, and then Demas, in the Bible, we hear good things about Demas. We hear okay things about Demas, and then we hear not so good things about Demas.
He was just that type of guy.
He was just that guy, that friend. He will later abandon Paul, and in Paul's words, for the world. So sometimes friends come and go, but focus on the good times, not the bad. And always, you continue to pray, and maybe they'll pop up another day. Now, this is a little FYI, just a little bit more information, just because you guys, want more information, right?
Yeah.
Okay, people love to say the Bible has inconsistencies, that has errors. Now, this is one of those points, is that nymphos sometimes could be translated to say nympha. And actually, there's certain translations what will say nympha. Now, the difference is, what's the difference, Gary? The difference is male or female of the name. Now, in the Greek spelling of the name is the exact same. It's the exact same. It's not like the English where there's a S and there's not a S. But the difference is there's an accent mark, what makes the difference. Now, apparently in the oldest manuscripts of the Bible, there was no accent marks throughout the whole Bible. Right? And they were added in later. So depending on who wrote it, this tradition has it, it was a female, or tradition has it, it was a male, they added or not added the accent mark. It doesn't change the message of the Bible. The consistency of the Bible does not change. It doesn't change that. It doesn't change that message. The only thing it changes is that this person who opened up their house, who had an open heart about opening up their house to become a church, was either male or female. Right? But we see a lot. There's Lydia, the seller of purple. I don't know if anybody remember her. There's a lot of wealthy females. You think, typically, you would think male, because we know opening up the house, probably a big house, probably feeding people, probably well-to-do, probably, you know, not hurting for money. It could have been male. It could have been just as easily female. Colossians 4, 16 and 18. I believe it's Max. Epistle.
Is read among you. See that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received from the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, in my chains, grace be with you. Amen. Wow. I am horrible.
No, you're not. No, you're not. So it's saying pass this letter to this church, and then that church that they have, that letter they have, you guys read it. Now, we don't know exactly if that letter was one of the ones that are in here. Maybe it's the Galatians or, Ephesians. We're not sure. Or maybe there is a letter for some reason, we don't know why. Maybe it's just lost. Maybe God's like, no, we don't need that one. Paul, you write too many letters. I don't know. But, there's letters. And he just wanted them to help each other out. Spreading the word and just helping each other out, right? Paul's wish for the Christians was to share the truth, to share it with others. In that way, the idea is to help people, right? To help them with their struggles, because certain people have this struggle and certain people that struggle. So getting all the information there, hopefully it would help everybody's struggles. Now, Paul ends the letter with, remember my chains. Now, obviously, he could have been figuratively in chains, chained to a guard, chained to a wall. It was more, he's probably not in a, he was more house arrest at this point, not a damp cell, more than likely. But obviously, he could be asking for prayer. He's probably doing all these points, but Ari could have been talking about figuratively, not real life, but that he was chained or he had this bond with God. A prisoner by choice. He's talking about that. He's talked about that before. Or was he just showing people or reminding people that he would be able or he was willing to do anything? He was willing to go to prison if only it was to help out a friend in need. John is that type of guy, right? John 15, 12 through 15. Stephen?
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. For so you are my friend if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you.
So Jesus was and is willing to lay down his life for a friend. And he calls us friends. Right? He calls us friends. Friends have a relationship. He talks about a servant and the master not knowing what he's doing. A servant just does what the master tells him. But a friend knows that other friend and does it because he wants, because he's being friendly, because he wants to do it, because he loves the love between each other. So the question is now, is what kind of friend are we going to be? Let's close in prayer.